Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
Well, sure, we'll try that again. A very good evening and welcome along to the Score programme tonight. It's currently 7 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, and on tonight's programme. To come later on, we'll be hearing from Neil Martin, his team manager of the Ireland under 20 team that's off to the World Championships in Peru today. Fintan Dewhurst from the Tyrconnell Club and a native of Glenties is part of the Ireland squad heading out. Also on the show as well, shortly we'll be hearing from Dermot O'Brien to look ahead to the new Inishowen Football League season. That of course gets up and running this weekend on Sunday with League Cup fixtures. And in a few moments we'll be speaking to Anthony Gorman as well to join us for our weekly League of Ireland chat. But we're going to start with European football, because tonight is a big one for two Irish clubs in particular. Coming up at 7:45 at Tallaght, St Patrick's Athletic are at the Tallaght Stadium for their Conference League playoff with Istanbul Başakşehir. But before that, Shamrock Rovers have made the trip to Greece and they are taking on Poke at the minute. And that game's about 38 minutes old, and currently in that fixture in the Europa League playoff, in the first leg of that tie with Rovers away from home, it's currently scoreless there at the moment in that one. And we will keep an eye on how that game is panning out. There's a couple of other sides who are in action as well tonight in the Europa League, like Hearts, who are playing Poznan. That game is currently scoreless at the moment as well. And just checking on some of the other fixtures that may involve sides that we know. Scottish side Kilmarnock are in action and they are playing FC Copenhagen. Now, moving on to League of Ireland matters, and Finn Harps will look to get back on track tomorrow evening in Dublin, having slipped out of the League of Ireland First Division playoff spots in recent weeks. They have a tough tie away to UCD, which is under the management of Inishowen man William O'Connor. In the Premier Division, the top four, including Derry City and Sligo Rovers, are also playing tomorrow night as well. Well, joining us now on the programme to look at those games is Director of Football at Letterkenny Rovers and a former Finn Harps manager, Anthony Gorman. Hi, Anthony.
Hi, Oisín. How are you? Thanks.
I'm not too bad, Anthony. I'm not too bad. Listen, it's another busy weekend, of course, football action, and indeed it's going to get even busier over the next number of weeks as well with the introduction of the junior leagues back in again. Before we talk Finn Harps and Derry City, how's prep going from a Letterkenny Rovers point of view?
Yeah, well, you know, we're quite happy how things have gone so far. I know it's a wee bit difficult always around July and August because you have players away on holidays, and you've got, you know, obviously then there's, you know, the prospect of new players coming in and joining the team, and, you know, and then you're trying to build up fitness and everything. So it's going to take a wee while to get everybody together where you can have the full squad together. And I suppose as well, we've been impacted a wee bit with the Gaelic Championship, you know, where Lee McMonagall has committed to St. Junan's for the summer and Mark Anthony McGinley's playing for St. Michael's. So it's disappointing not to have them on board at this stage, because they've been so important to us over the last couple of seasons and last year in particular, Lee. So we just have to get by without them. But, you know, that's the challenge. It's not just for us, but for a lot of the teams in Donegal, actually, where, you know, with the Gaelic and players playing the dual code. So, but again, like, we're happy enough with the squad we have at the minute, and we're making the most of the players that we have. And again, it's an opportunity for other players to come in and stake a claim for their place.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure Anthony will be talking more in the coming weeks about the new season of the Donegal Junior League, but we're going to focus in on the League of Ireland as we do each and every Thursday. Finn Harps in action against William O'Connor's UCD tomorrow night, Friday. It's been a difficult period for Harps. We had them, of course, at the start of the season where they were up fighting at the top end, sitting second in the standings. But over the course of the last 10 games, it hasn't been going the way of the Balbuffet side, and they've really struggled to get results, so they have, Anthony. But And saying that, if you can hit the reset button on Friday night and get a point or a win, it could start be the start of turning things around again.
Yeah, I think a lot's made, and rightly so, of league tables and that, and like generally league tables don't lie, Oisin. But I think you could be forgiven for giving Van Harps a bit of the benefit of the doubt at the minute, because from fourth place to eighth place, there's only 6 points in the league. And, Finn Harps, we're going, I'd say if you asked Darren Murphy, 10 weeks ago, how do you think the season's going? I'm sure he'd be very happy with how they were going, because they were competitive in all the games. They're getting good results. They're always in the top half of the table. But I suppose Finn Harps, budget wise and squad wise, at the minute, it looks like they're in about the right position for where they're at and what they have. But I wouldn't look too much into it, because I do think that with 8 games left and with only 6 points between Treaty United in 8th place and Bray in 4th, I think it's all to play for, Oisin. And I do think that any one of them 5 teams can get the other 2 places in the playoff place, because you could almost say Cork are runaway league champions. Athlone and UCD, you could say, have the second and third positions nailed on. So between fourth and eighth, you're looking at, a fight between Bray, Wexford, Cove, Finn Harps and Treaty for the remaining 2 playoff places. And on their day, Finn Harps are capable of beating any of them teams and any of their opponents. They do have some tricky fixtures left between now and the end of the season. If you look at the fixtures, back-to-back away fixtures to Cork and Kerry, which, that can be soul-destroying at the best of times, but, when you're fighting for points and you're going to play the runaway league leaders who will be champions, it can be soul-destroying, but Darren Murphy's a very positive person, Oisin, and I'm sure if anybody can rally the troops around at this stage of the season to gather enough points to make the playoffs, Darren can.
Yeah. Well, William Connor will be very much aware of the threat that the Finn Harps can bring to a match. Between these two sides, 3 times this year, all ending in draws, Anthony, who's going to come out on top this weekend, or is it going to be a case of what it's been like all season between these two clubs?
Well, I remember the game that I think it was the most recent game that UCD played at Finn Harps, where it was a draw, obviously, but I felt that on the night, Finn Harps were the better side. But both teams were very well organised, and UCD had maybe a bit more attacking quality than what Finn Harps had on the night. But in this game, when you've got 2 teams that are well organised, it's about at the top end of the pitch and maybe who can actually take a chance. And with Finn Harps, when you've got Tony McNamee in the ranks, who can always create a chance, and then you're looking at success, who maybe needs to get back among the goals. And I think they've done really well to get young Sean Patton in on loan. So you'll be looking at opportunities to come their way. But again, it's one of them where Harps are going to UCD. UCD's pushing, trying to close down Athlone for the second place. It's going to be difficult for Finn Harps going down there. If you're looking at it from the outside, you'd be thinking UCD should get a home one, but like my money would be on Finn Harps going down there and getting a battle and draw.
Yeah. Were you surprised by the departure of Stephen Doherty today?
Well, I just heard it earlier on, Oisin, and I was very surprised because, he's been integral to the Finn Harps and the performances over the last maybe 18 months. I thought he'd done really well in some of the games I'd seen this year, and particularly one of the early games against Athlone, where he had a really positive impact in the game and scored a really good goal. So I'm surprised that he has been released from his contract, but there's possibly something in the pipeline for him. But again, it seems that the club have let him go quite easily.
Yeah, the club saying today that they confirmed the departure of Stephen Doherty from Finn Park due to work and travel commitments. Everyone at Harps wishing Stephen. They thanked him for his efforts with the club and they wished him all the best and thanked him for his commitment. But it's saying in the statement today that it's due to work and travel commitments. You mentioned another player there, Sean Patton. He could be another guy that could be on the way out of Finn Park, because all indications are sort of pointing to Portsmouth being very interested in this young man. The manager did say it a couple of weeks ago, Anthony, at Portsmouth, that they were keen to get him in. It hasn't happened yet, but we wouldn't be surprised if it does happen really soon.
No, you wouldn't be surprised, because he's at a good age as well, Ashing. You know, he's 17 years of age. He's getting League of Ireland experience. You know, he made his debut earlier on this season playing for Derry. He's in around the international setup as well. So it makes perfect sense for a club like Portsmouth to take a chance on a young fellow like that, because, you know, having watched him play, like he's strong, he's quick. He has got a good eye for a goal, and he showed that in the goal he scored, I think it was Kerry at home, on his debut, like a really composed finish from somebody so young. So it would make perfect sense for Portsmouth or any team around, you know, in England, to take a chance on a player like that who's obviously got potential. But I suppose as well, like, there's an awful lot of players with potential, and it's not all about ability, Oisin. It's about attitude and desire and determination. And from all accounts, Sean Paton has got all them qualities.
Yeah, he certainly does. The rest of the fixtures in the First Division on Friday: Treaty United play Wexford, Cove Ramblers against Cork, Athlone Town v Bray Wanderers, and Longford Town are up against Kerry FC on a Saturday night. League of Ireland Premier Division. There is, of course, three games down for decision on Friday night, with the top three sides in the league standings all playing, Anthony. And I suppose, first of all, Derry City away at the RSC. Waterford could be a tough place tomorrow night for the Candy Stripes.
Yeah, Waterford are flying. They've had a really successful return to the Premier League. I think, like, to be fair to them, they're well organised, but, you know, Padraig Amond has come in there from having returned from England at the start of the season, and you know, he's getting all sorts of goals, and he's been really a real success story for Waterford, you know, on his return to the League of Ireland. But Derry have done well against Waterford this year, Oisin, and they've scored goals against them, and you know, I think Derry going down there, in their last five games, they've had 2-1s, 2 draws, and a defeat. So they'll be looking to go down and try and close the gap on Shelburne. And Shelburne, obviously, on the back of going to Sligo Showgrounds last week and getting beat 2-1. So that would give Derry a huge boost going into the run-in for the championship.
Yep. And Derry making a big signing. Andre Wisdom, former Liverpool, Warrington Town, Derby County. Who else did he play for? Redburg, Salzburg, just thinking off the top. Yeah. So, listen, a player with a bit of experience, what does that tell you about Rory Higgins and what he is thinking now in this transfer window, Anthony?
Well, I think he's identified a problem area for Derry, because Derry haven't watched them quite a bit. You know, they haven't really been that dominant defensively, especially through the middle of the back four. So he probably sees Andre Wisdom coming in there to play alongside possibly Mark Connolly. You know, they lost McJanet to Grimsby at the start of their transfer window, and it was important that they got somebody in to replace him. I know Wisdom's more right-sided than left-sided. McJanet having predominantly played on the left-hand side of the defence, but you know, his experience, like he was successful as a player in Austria. Seen he won a league and cup double with Salzburg, and got a big money move to Derby from Liverpool. Like, Derby, I think, spent over £4 million for him. So he's a player with pedigree, a player with experience, and he might be exactly what Derry City need in the final push for the League of Ireland, because, you know, It's been a funny season in the League of Ireland this year, especially in the Premier Division, because we look at Shelburne and Derry having played 26 and 27 games respectively. Shelburne have only won 50% of them games, and Derry have won 12 of 27 games. You know, and for a team to go and win a league, you'd expect them to be winning 60, 65, 70% of their games. But it's been so even, and, you know, teams have beaten teams that you wouldn't have expected. And I think you only have to look at Shamrock Rovers sitting down in fifth place. And while you wouldn't rule them out, they've got 2 games in hand. You know, it shows you how competitive the Premier Division has been this year.
Yeah. Can Bowes upset the odds and beat Shells on Friday? Derry could find themselves top of the table if that happens.
They could, yeah. And, you know, if I was Derry, if I was a Derry City supporter, you'd be confident going down to Waterford because of the previous games they've played against Waterford this year. And they have played really well against Waterford and scored goals against them. Bowes, you know, watching the Shells Derry game at Talca there a couple of weeks ago, Shelburne looked quite nervous, actually. You know, I think, to be fair to Damien Duff, what he's getting from his players, he's getting the maximum. And I'm not sure if there's much more there. He probably needed a better transfer window and maybe taking in a few more players to strengthen the squad. I know he signed Aidan O'Brien, a striker. It's probably what he needed because they looked a wee bit toothless against Derry that night, against the 10-man Derry team, I may add, as well. But Bowes certainly have the talent, Oisin, and, you know, they've signed well in the transfer window. And, you know, I know they've had a very disappointing season, but in a Dublin derby, anything can happen, and the form book will go out the window.
Certainly will. Just finally then, I did say the top three were playing Friday night. The top four is actually playing on Friday night because Sligo Rovers, who are fourth, they're taking on Drogheda United, the side who are bottom of the table. A game that you would expect Sligo to win, but from a North West footballing point of view, Anthony, it's very, very positive. You have two teams in the top four here looking at it.
Yeah, it is, Oisin. And you know what as well? Like, if you look at three of the top four teams are provincial clubs. You've got Derry City, Waterford and Sligo, which over the last number of years, there's been a domination from the Dublin teams. And it goes to show you what, you know, good structures can do and good organisation. And you can put them clubs right in the reckoning. And I think we should mention Sligo as well, because they've really been the form team. Like, they've, over the last number of weeks, they've beaten the top two. They've beaten Shelburne at the Showgrounds. They've beaten Derry City at the Showgrounds. You know, so John Russell has really turned things around there, because not that long ago he was under pressure because the results weren't that great. But to be fair to him, he's turned it around, and he's got Sligo back up there challenging, especially for European place.
Yeah, he has. He's doing a great job. And listen, Anthony, thanks for joining us. That's it for this week, and we'll be catching up again soon over the next number of weeks.
Thank you very much, Oisin. Thank you.
Always good to chat with Anthony Gorman, Harps away to UCD tomorrow night, and Derry, of course, on the road at Waterford as well. And big evening for both clubs. Shamrock Rovers are trailing 1-0 in that Conference Europa League qualifier, or the qualification, rather, for the Europa League. And they're down by a goal to nil at half time. And it's an OG by Cleary, which has given a poke the advantage in that one in Greece, with another 45 minutes of football to come in the first leg. Okay, the Inishowen Football League season swings into action this weekend, with League Cup fixtures in the Clubman and Charlie O'Donnell competitions. Coghill Celtic took a clean sweep in the Inishowen competitions last year, and then once again they will be the team to beat in this campaign. Earlier today I spoke with Competition Secretary Dermot O'Brien about this weekend's games and the season ahead. Dermot says it's good to be back playing football.
Yeah, well, I suppose, you know, it seems like the wee bit of a break as well, Oisin, in June and July, but most of them have been back in pre-season since the start of July, early weeks in July, and they're keen to get going again now.
Yeah, but listen, for you as an organising committee, obviously you have to put in the work as well for the league, but it's a compact league. There's a lot of competitions. I think in total there's about 9 or 10 competitions, is there? And you guys have the bulk of the organising to do for that. So even though a lot of the action's on the pitch, you guys are always kept busy off it too, Dermot.
Yeah, that's right, Oisin. Like, I mean, domestically, across the four divisions, we would have nine competitions for our own clubs. And then on top of that, then you have the schedule in the likes of the Ulster Junior Shield, the Ulster Junior Cup, the FAI Junior Cup, and the Oscar Trainer.
Yeah, a lot of competitions there. Just before we look at the games this weekend, I know that the Oscar Trainer competition was one that the Inishowen League takes very, very seriously, and one that they want to do well. And didn't work out last year against Donegal in the early rounds of the competition. But when it's announced later in the year, and when, I suppose, everything is put in place for it, is that a competition that Inishowen's going to have a real crack at this year, Dermot?
Yeah, well, as you said, Oisin, we've entered the Oscar Trainer for a long number of years, and we had a purple patch you know, between 2013, 2017, when we had made three finals in those five seasons, and we're fortunate enough to win the 2015 one. Unfortunately, we lost the other two, but I think that's whetted the appetite for the players to get involved in the competition. From the league's perspective, you know, we have to give credit to the players because they've always treated the Oscar Turner competition seriously. They give put in a great effort to represent the league and take great pride in representing the league. So we look forward to that, and hopefully it happens again this year.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll hear more on the Oscar Turner as the season goes on. But listen, the action's getting up and running this coming weekend, and I suppose a new bar last year was set by Cockhill Celtic. They basically won everything there was to win in any showing, and likewise went on to lift the FEA Junior Cup. A very, very strong side, and I suppose at the start of the season, hot favourites again for everything, Dermot.
Yeah, I suppose circumstances beyond their control meant that they were back in junior football. Like, you know, as we've always said, that's where most of the clubs came from at the start. They had a very strong squad assembled last year, and they had a fantastic season without doubt, and they will be the favourites again this year. And they're there to be shot at for all the rest of the clubs to try and raise their standards and try and compete with them.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I suppose that when you had Buncrana in there as well, lifting the Ulster Junior Cup, it shows that there is sides that can mix with them.
Yeah, like, I mean, we said at our presentation night, like, I mean, I don't know if it'll ever happen again, but we had the FAI Junior Cup on display, the Ulster Junior Cup on display, and the Ulster Junior Shield on display, all won by Inis Own clubs, which is obviously a first. So, that, you know, that was a special night for all the clubs involved.
Yeah. Okay, let's get to the action this weekend. We'll start with Cockhill Celtic. They're playing Cairn in the opening match as they start the defence of their Clubman Shirts League Cup. Can Cairn put it up to them at the weekend?
Yeah, well, Cairn, like, I mean, put it up to them last year. Like, I mean, one of the first league games from memory, I think Cockhill just got over the line with a 3-2 in a feisty game after Cairn had led by 2-1 with 10 or 15 minutes remaining. You know, it's three team groups in the Clubman Shirts. We have Cockhill, Cairn and Redcastle. Cockhill will obviously be favourites to come out of that group, I think.
Also this weekend, Clonmany Shamrocks against Greencastle. I think Clonmany have added a few players towards the season, and they're looking to do well this year.
Yeah, well, Clonmany, Marty Doherty came into the fold there as manager in Clonmany a couple of seasons ago, and he's done tremendous work. Not really sure of what any club have signed at this stage. You know, once the match carries and that come in from next week on, you would move better on the personnel. But I do know that they've lost a couple of young players, especially Jake Harkin and Oisin Hessian, who have emigrated to Australia, and they would be a big loss. But knowing Marty, he's very well organised, very good coach, and he'll have them very well prepared.
And the other game in the League Cup this weekend, Ellis Celtic, who have had a good pre-season, are taking on Kildaff.
Yeah, Paul Doherty's in charge again at Ellis, and Ellis have comfortably survived in the Premier Division the last couple of years. And Paul knows the league very well and has added a couple of players from what I'm hearing anyway. Like Kildaff, on the other hand, have been promoted, and they've lost probably one of their best player in Brendan McLaughlin, who's gone to Institute. But John Jodarty, the manager, has come in last season, done a very good job getting them promoted. And he'd be happy enough with survival in the Premier Division, I would imagine, this year.
Yeah. The other games, we'll just mention them in the Charlie O'Donnell Cup. Glenady Colts are taking on Alia Reserves. QPS are up against Cockhill Youths. Cairn Youths take on Glengad United. And Buncrana Reserves are playing Dunre United. Those are the games this weekend. But looking further down the track, the middle of September will be the start of the Premier Division, and things are going to swing into action that weekend. Outside of Cockhill, Dermot, I'm going to probably ask you to put your head in the block here. Who do you think would be the other contenders outside of that for this year's Premier Division?
Well, obviously, I think Buncrana, you know, they were runners-up last year, so I'd imagine they'd be in the mix again this year. I know Declan Lynch has taken over at Alia, and they had a good run in the Summer Cup. They won the Letterkenny Summer Cup there last night. So it's hard to know, you know, what kind of squad he has assembled. Probably be in a better position to assess a lot of the teams, you know, after maybe 2 or 3 weeks. Clonmany will put it up to most teams, as they have done last year and on previous years. I say Greencastle probably have struggled a wee bit. They've lost James Henry to Institute. And again, a couple of players, I think, have possibly retired. So suppose it's possible that, you know, they might struggle a wee bit as well, while the newly promoted sides of Redcastle and Kildare, you know, will be up against it. But again, as I said earlier, on Kildare's perspective, Redcastle being in the same boat, Cahill Faulkner in charge of Redcastle again, and I think they'd be happy with survival in the Premier Division this year as well.
Yeah. Well, listen, we'll look forward to it again when the season, the league season kicks up and running in a number of weeks' time. But in the meantime, Dermot O'Brien, many thanks for joining us on Highland today.
Thank you, Ajay.
And it was Dermot O'Brien who spoke to me earlier today, looking forward to the start of the new season, season in his showing with League Cup action this weekend. Time for a break. We'll have more on the way after these.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. From rebounders to goalposts, find everything you need to play your best at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Welcome back to the Score programme here tonight on Highland, 35 minutes past 7 o'clock. And there is, of course, another full programme of matches in Donegal in the Club Championship. The Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Club Championships, from senior level to intermediate and indeed in junior as well, at both A and B. Now, if you go to the playback section of our website, highlandradio.com, you will, of course, be able to listen back to our dedicated GA programme and podcast presented by Brendan Devaney on a Monday night. That, of course, is called the DL Debate. There's lots of championship talk on that show from this week. So as they head into the games, just taking a look at the standings after round two. For Masters, Glen Swilly, Neave, St Unans, rather, and McCool's hold the top four positions, and if things were to go to the quarterfinals now, they would be the four teams that would go straight to the last eight. However, there is, of course, still two rounds of football to go, and all those four sides picking up 2-1s from two. St Michael's and Dunloe also won 2 from 2. They currently sit fifth and sixth in the standings on score difference outside the top four. Then we have Neave Connell, seventh. Gweedore, eighth. Kilcar, ninth. And Éireann, Ballyshannon in 10th position, all on 2 points. And in 11th is Killybegs, and Downings in 12th. They have yet to win, but they are outside the bottom four, the relegation playoff zone, due to score difference. So the teams from 5 to 12, of course, will be in the preliminary quarterfinals at the end after round four. And the four sides after two rounds, currently in the bottom four, Glenfinnan, Drogheda, Clonmacnoise and St Noel's in that order, still without a win in this campaign. So the matches this weekend, there's two games at 4 o'clock on Saturday. In Donegal Town, Four Masters are playing Glen Swilly, and St Unans are taking on Gweedore at the same time. Both matches at 4 p.m. and we'll have coverage from both of those. I'll be joined by Brendan Kilcoyne for commentary from Donegal Town, and Ryan Ferry, the Donegal News, will be following St Unans against Gweedore. Also on Saturday in the Senior Championship at 6, that's Glenfinnan meets Kilcar, and McCool's take on Neave Connell. On Saturday in the Intermediate Football Championship, the four games are Narossa against Fanagh Gaels, Letterkenny Gaels play Neave Warrap, Termit take on Burt Modorn against Red Hughes, while in the Junior Championship, Neave Padraig Lifford are up against Neave Padraig Muff, and Mavill will play Neave Ulton. On to the action on Sunday in the Senior Championship, there's a further four games to be played. We'll be focusing on the Bridge and Dunfanaghy, St Michael's against Dunloe, two sides that have won both of their games so far. Ryan will then be heading that direction on Sunday for updates from that game. While in the other match at 4 o'clock, it's Éireann Ballyshannon against Ardra, and Clonmacnoise to go on Downings and St Noel play Killybegs, with both of those games at 2 o'clock. In the Intermediate Championship on Sunday, it's Buncrana against Milford and Neave Columba to go on Mallon, while in the Junior Championship, Pettigo against Neave Columkill, Robert Emmets play Cairn Donagh and Neave Breed to go on Convoy. There's also a full programme of games for the Liddies in their respective Club Championships. At Senior, Termin play Neave Warrap, Mavill to go on Éireann, Neave Connell meet Glenfinnan, and St Unans play St Noel's. While at Intermediate, Dunloe up against Gweedore, Fanagh Gaels host Ardra, Killybegs go to Buncrana, and St Mary's Convoy are taking on Cairn Donagh. There's also matches at Junior A and Junior B level to be played as well in the Ladies' Championships this coming Sunday. And it's a big day for the Donegal Masters on Saturday afternoon. Francie Martin's side are heading to Drumlee and Cavan for the Gaelic Masters All-Ireland Plate semi-final. Kildare is the opposition, and that game on Saturday throws in at 1 o'clock, and we wish the Masters all the best as they look to return to an All-Ireland final. Now, moving on to athletics. The Irish team competing at next week's World Under 20 Track and Field Championships in Peru departed for South America this morning. Chicano's Fintan Dewhurst will take on the 400 metres. The Glenties man, of course, won silver at last year's European Championships. There are two Fin Valley men on the support staff. Neil Martin is team manager and Dermot McGranahan is a coach. Before they left for Peru, I caught up with Neil as he takes another Irish team to a major competition. Listen, Neil, thanks for joining us. It's another big event for you. Before we talk about what's coming up now in Peru, how many world championships and major events now have you been at with Ireland teams as manager in different roles? I would say there's quite a few.
I started in 1998 at the World Under 20 Championships in Annecy in France, and this is my 10th trip at a World Under 20. I have done about 12 European Under 20 Championships and another 6 European Under 23 Championships. So I bring them along as far as I can, and then they move into the senior category. And that's just the role I have at the moment, and that's the way it works. And it was delightful to see, and actually in Paris recently at the Olympics, that every athlete present I brought to one of those championships over the years. And it gives you great satisfaction to see. Not that I have any input into how they've developed as athletes, but how they have developed as persons and how they worked over the years. I know what they've done and I know what they do. So it was great pleasure to watch them and see what they have achieved since they moved into the senior category.
Yeah, and I'm sure you've had a lot of highlights down through the years at World Championships, at juniors and under 20s with Irish athletes. Neil, there'll be some standout memories there, will there?
Oh, there's some standout memories, definitely. I suppose going back to the beginning, and I remember that one of the first juniors it was in Jamaica in 2002, and boys like David Gillick and Dave McCarthy and Joanne Cuttahy, who all went on to represent Ireland at Olympic level, and we all know what David Gillick is doing at the moment with RTE and all that type of stuff. So it's great. Probably the highlight for me in my whole time, well, three highlights actually. One was Ciara McGeehan winning a silver medal in Moncton in Canada in 2010. With two Ethiopians, one in front and one behind her. That was the beginning of she did medal at the European Under 18s the year before that, but that was the beginning of Ciara McGeehan on a world stage. And, you know, it's still great to see her still there and still competing. Unfortunately, she didn't get the opportunity to compete in Paris, but she'll be back. She's a tough cookie. The other two was actually a very emotional day for me, sitting in Tampere in 2018 and watching Summer Leckie from my own club getting a silver medal at the World Under 20 High Jump Championships. That same evening, then we had our Under 20 women finishing second in the 4x1 relay, one of whom was Rashida Dadalecki. So, you know, those are the highlights that I would pick out. Quickly, there's a whole lot of different trips that I can remember for other reasons. All good, not sinister about it, but all good. And, you know, that's the way life is. We just move on, and there's always a new crowd, and there's another new batch coming forward now for this trip coming up next week.
Yeah, just one other note, Mark English, obviously there was a homecoming last week for Mark up at the Fin Valley Centre, but Mark would have went to major tournaments as well for you and was very, very close to making the Olympics in 2012, having come out of Worlds just before that, Neil?
Yeah, Mark and myself were in Tallinn in 2011, where he didn't make the final of the 800 metres, and that was the European Championships. But in 2012, then he went and he made the final of the 800 metres in Barcelona and actually finished fourth in the race. And, you know, he was a blink away from getting a medal that night. He actually achieved that same year. He achieved the B standard for the Olympic Games, but I'm not giving out, but the Olympic Council of Ireland and their wisdom decided not to send anyone with B standards, even though they were only across the water in London. And actually, a little aside to that, I was sitting beside him in the stadium in London when the guy that beat him that day, that won that 800, finished third or in the Olympic final. And, you know, it was just, he should have been there, he could have been there. It would have been more experience for him for the later years. But to be fair, he's developed into a fine athlete and grew up and as I say, three Olympic games now at this stage and two semi-finalists, semi-final in 2016, semi-final again and this year. So, you know, he did come through and thankfully he wasn't too disappointed after 2012 that he was able to bounce back again.
Yeah. Well, listen, there'll be a lot of Irish athletes who are in similar positions now. They're in that age group between 18 and 20, and they have dreams of making it to Olympic Games, but they have to compete at a certain level. So they do in Europe and indeed across the world. And you've got a group going out now, leaving on Thursday for the event, the World Under 20s in Peru. So tell us about the group that you have this year, Neil, that you're going to be looking after.
Yeah, well, the group we have seven individual qualifiers. We have one very good girl in the long jump. She's ranked number two in the world, actually, Elizabeth Ndudi, who actually won the European Under 20 Championships last year. And we have two 400-metre hurdlers, one of whom is from Glentys, Fintan Dewhurst. Again, he medaled in Israel last year as well, in Jerusalem at the European Under 20s. We have a 400-metre runner, we have a 1500-metre runner. And the rest are really, six individuals, and the rest are the 4x4 mixed relay and the 4x4 men's relay, which brings us to a total of 13 athletes, which is one of the highest groups, biggest groups we've had for a number of years. I know in Tampere in 2012 we had over 30, but we had four relay teams qualified, which meant we had big groups, as I say, four relay teams qualified. That's 24 athletes right away. And then the individuals as well on top of that. So we are, we have a good group. And, Peru's a long bit away. It's a different, for excuse the language, but a different animal in terms of just jumping over the water into Europe and jumping into an aeroplane and flying across to Europe and getting on the, getting there and done. We're going to be flying from Dublin to Madrid on Thursday morning early, and then from Madrid to Lima in Peru, which is a 12-hour flight. And that is an experience for young athletes that haven't done that type of stuff before. They're going to be shattered by Friday and Saturday, but we're going out early. The competition doesn't start till Tuesday, which gives us a time to acclimatise, get the guys ready for rested, first of all, and replenished in terms of food and take it from there. We have a good team. Yeah, they're good teams, but again, as I say, an athlete can make a final and anything can happen in a final. An athlete will be disappointed. There's always one or two of the opposite, as they say. The relay teams are the relay teams, and as we all know with relays, watching Olympic Games and World Championships, anything can happen, and we're hopeful that for us, everything happens and that we get the results that the athletes deserve. I mean, these guys are working all their life, even though they are only 17, 18 and 19. But for the last 6, 7 years, these guys have been on the radar in terms of provincial championships, Irish championships, and then they go across and compete at European level under 18 and under 20. So they are progressing, and yes, there's no doubt about it. Some of them will actually make 2028 in Los Angeles. Not them all, naturally, but some of them may. The relay squads will be the fact that you have six people in a relay squad. Some of them will stay the distance and maybe part of that great mixed 4x4 relay team come 2028. Yeah. We just don't know. But that's what life's about.
That's it. And of course, we can't forget Dermot McGranahan, another Finn Valley man, another Donegal man's out there as the relay coach and is also in a couple of other different roles with the Irish team out there. So we'll be giving you a hand, Neil.
Yes, Dermot is coming along. He was he was in Jerusalem last year with the 4x4. He's done a lot of work with the 4x4 relay squads, and that's beginning to show. I mean, we have a men's team qualified at 4x4, and we have a mixed relay team qualified 4x4. So, yes, he's doing great work at that level. And then he's also been looking after the middle distance athletes, which there's only two others other than the relays. Once the mixed relay is over on the first day, he'll be helping out with the middle distance, and then he will go back into the really mowed again then for the last 2 days. So, yes, and it's great for him. He's worked hard at athletics up through his years. I remember him running as a wee cub, as they say, in Pin Valley and getting silver medals at a European Juniors, probably around 1980. You'll not like me for saying this. 1986 or so. But that's what he does. That's what we do, you know. And he's come through the ranks and has progressed and fair play. And who's to say in another number of years he could be taking on my role or anybody else's role and going forward with it, yeah. You know.
Also, Fintan Dewhurst, you mentioned him there in the interview that he's part of the 400-metre hurdle event, silver medal at Europeans. What's the hopes of young Dewhurst at this World Championships, Neil?
The hopes of everybody at a World Championships is to make a final and to do a personal best time. If Fintan does a personal best time and makes that final, it's very up in the air, as I say, and I don't mean that in a negative way, I mean it in a positive way, that he could achieve very highly. Having said that, and he knows it and I know it and his coach Brian McGonigal knows it, there's a big difference from European athletics to world athletics. And, you know, you're bringing the Americans and the Jamaicans and the Australians and the Japanese and Chinese and every other country in the world, as they say. And they're, especially at 400-metre hurdles, the Americans are very strong. But, as I say, a PB, and he's in there in the frame. He will make the semi-final. Depending on the draw and depending on how well he runs in the semi-final, he can make a final, and I certainly hope he will. He's been on the scene now for a number of years, him and his brother Ethan. Ethan was recently out at the European Under 18 Championships, and now Fintan's going to the World Juniors. So they are very good. They're very good hurdlers. I mean, they finished second and third to Thomas Barr at the National Seniors this year. So, you know, it's a progression for them.
Yeah.
And I would be expecting that Fintan will certainly make the semi-finals. And as I say, being 400-metre hurdles again, there's a risk of hurdles being in your way at some stage or another if you miss a stride. But he's quite adept at changing his pattern and getting out there with both legs to lead and cover the hurdles all the time. So hopefully it'll work for him. His coach, Brian McGonigal from Glenties, is going out. He's flying out at the weekend to be there for him as well. And, you know, it's great to see a young fella from Donegal. There hasn't been many in all those trips that I've been on, young athletes going to World Juniors Championship levels. I mean, I could probably name them in two sets of fingers rather than, but you know, that's over 22 or 24 years at this, 26 years at this stage, you know. So, you know, that's the way life is. And we always produce, we have the Summer Leckies and the John Kellys and the James Kellys. And, you know, there's different others that over the years that went, Mark English and Rory Finnegan, you know, that type of stuff. We always had them there. So there's a great tradition with Donegal athletics. But this last number of years, like the last trip route now, we had Lucy McGlynn from Bundoran or Ballyshannon with us in the 100-metre hurdles. And there seems to be a strong tradition of hurdle coaching with Tyrconnell Athletic Club, because they do work at hurdles and they are producing the athletes, and it's great to see it.
Certainly is. Well, listen, Neil, many thanks for joining us, and we wish you and the rest of the Donegal contingent involved in that Ireland team, and indeed the Ireland team itself, the best of luck and every success in Peru next week, and a safe trip to South America.
Thank you very much, Joshin. Thank you.
That was Neil Martin, team manager, who spoke to me before they departed for South America ahead of the World Under 20 Championship next week. Elsewhere in athletics, confirmation today, Letterkenny's Katrina Jennings and Kieran McMonagall will represent Ireland at the IAU 100-kilometre World Championships, and they will be taking place in India in December the 7th. Katrina, of course, finished third in the World Championships in 22. She claimed gold in the Masters race. She set a new Irish record at the time and an age group best world performance. That was an age group world best performance. And Kieran, of course, stepped up to 100 kilometres recently, and he represented Ireland in the Anglo-Celt Plate in 23 and 24, and has set the Irish national record as well on both occasions. A big weekend of cricket in the Northwest, especially for St Johnstone. They play Strabane in the Sammy Jeffries Shield Cup final. That starts tomorrow at Ardmore. It's played over two innings and will continue into Saturday. While the Northwest Premier League Section 1 title could be wrapped up at the weekend, it's the final weekend of the regular season, and it's very much in the hands of new buildings. The Senior Cup winners have to win both of their games this weekend against Ardmore and Killiecluny, plus take at least 6 of the 10 bonus points on offer as well, and they will be champions. If they don't do that, it's going to bring Eglinton and Dunamana into the mix for the title. Eglinton play Coleraine and Dunamana are taking on Killiecluny. In boxing, the National Under 18 Championships will continue tomorrow night, Friday. For her foes, Jack McElroy is up against Lewis Griffin of Portlaoise in the semi-final of the 63.5 kilogram weight category. Whoever wins there tomorrow, and they will go to the final on Saturday evening. And just finally, some other athletics taking place in the Northwest. We can't forget about the Donegal Half Marathon, which has been held this coming Sunday, the 25th of August. A very popular event. There'll be around 600 competing on a Sunday, and the start time there is at 10:30 a.m. For more details, you can, of course, check out their social media channels. And that is it from the Score programme for tonight. Don't forget, if you missed any of the show, you will be able to recap shortly in the sports section of our website and the playback section of our website, and of course is at highlandradio.com. Mark Geller is along with our next bulletin tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news, so what's left of your Thursday. Have a good one. Have a very good evening.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.